the middle of this amazing gospel, and it's really incredible how we absolutely need to be certain, according to Luke, of Christ and who he is for us. That's why it looks like brownies, but it's stones. The stones Jesus walked on. It's such a firm foundation for us, who Jesus is. Who is he? And why that's so important to us. So we're in this second part of a little two-piece here in Luke 6 of rocking our world. Because our world, if it hasn't been rocked, it needs to be. And I so want you to see that with us this morning. Oh, yeah. Amazing. You know, when Jesus first came and he came early to pray. Jesus is so different than anything else we could ever have, ever. I wonder if you even have thought through who he is. Why he's different. Why it makes a difference. And so we get to see that today. It is a little bit. I'm glad we're doing baptisms at the end. I'm glad we're taking communion at the end. Because Christ comes and he rocks our world. He changes what we think about. Logically. What religion is. What our lives are about. Everything we're going to do. Jesus Christ does. Last week we looked at that with fasting and with the Sabbath and how he took it and turned it upside down. And today he goes even deeper. It starts with this. It starts with him going. We're going to do a lot of text today. I want you just to hear the story. I want you to understand the context. I want you to be able to go back and say, yeah, I realize what this passage is about. It's so common when we're going to hit some of these verses to people to take one or two verses and just say, okay, we're going to really talk about this one verse and miss the whole context of what Jesus Christ is doing. We have one of his main teachings today. It's called the Sermon on the Plain. Man, I hope you know what it means. So listen, this is what we do. So he starts here. In these days, he, that's Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray. And in the all night, he continued in prayer to God. And when the day came, he called his disciples and he chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Okay, I just want, this is our intro, we're kind of flowing in. The whole idea is, it wasn't a mistake. Jesus went all night and prayed. And then he chose his guys. And oh my, who he chose. I mean, for today, just think on that. I know these are the apostles, I know. But I'll tell you, you don't ever hear of the great works of Bartholomew. If you even know who Simon, who is called Zealot, was. What you do know about these people is that they're kind of a ragtag group. There's nothing particularly that commends them. In fact, if anything, it's kind of like, ooh, I'm not sure about this tax collector and the, you know, political zealot and you know, this the fishy guys. Because they smell like fish. And this is God's plan to pick nobodies. You say, well, they're not really. He's looking at these deep inner qualities that they have that are very amazing, and they're the apostles. No, the idea is God chose them. He did. And boom, there it is. And then he keeps going. And it says he came down with them. He stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear Jesus and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. I hope you hear. Jesus goes and he picks who he wants. Nothing in them. And then power's coming out of him. It's not something that people did. They just came in and they saw Jesus, and Jesus' stuff is coming out of him because he's Jesus. That's the idea. Oh. Okay, and now comes really the rocking. First, our perspective. Because Jesus sits down and he begins to teach them. He lifted up his eyes on his disciples. And he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh." There's one more blessed. Let's read that. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. So their fathers did to the prophets. Okay, pause for a second right there with me. Because if you are a Christian or have been at any time at all, and I immediately do this in my head, I say, this reminds me of something. The Beatitudes. And if you remember in Matthew 5, Jesus lays out, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so what I want to do is I want to go to Matthew and I want to take those little phrases in spirit. I want to take the phrase for righteousness and pull them into Luke and say that's what Jesus means. And you'd be wrong. There's a whole nother teaching. There's a whole nother thing Jesus is doing. What he says is what he says. Blessed are those who are hungry. Blessed are those who are poor. I don't understand. Keep going. Maybe we'll understand if we do some more. Say, okay, but woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. Okay, that just reaffirms that he's really talking about those things. If you're rich, woe. If you're full, woe. What? What's going on, Dax? Why did he do that? And because it makes no sense. Do you know, especially in the church, I mean, do you know how much resources in the church are spent to trying to get people out of poverty? And Jesus comes and says, oh, you're blessed if you're poor. Let's go. Woe to you who are full, no more meals. That just makes no sense. Jesus can't mean that, Dax. Yeah, what is he doing? Okay, so get this. Get the idea that's going on here. Get the picture you need to walk away with, which is this. It's the same message as the Sermon on the Mount. But on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is using, and Matthew is presenting, Jesus Christ as he uses the law of Moses to show people they are messed up. They're upside down, and Jesus is the only one right side up. But they know the law. They know, oh, yeah, do not commit adultery. Here Jesus presents, and Luke is like this. We're just getting presented with, you know, God thinks differently than you. God's actions are different than what you're thinking. Your perspective needs to be rocked. You think God's going to come into your world and make it all better and good and kind and nice and clean. That's not God saying, actually, there's a coming thing happening. It's one idea as he talks to these blessings and woes, which is if you long for something not in this world, if what you have is this deep discomfort with the world as it is, thou blessed are you because the kingdom of God comes. You know what? It's so much more than food. It's so much more than whether you have stuff. This is about, oh man, it'd be blessed for you to not have this and have this deep longing that you actually need what I'm going to provide, you know. But if you're wealthy and loving this world and all that it is, you're not going to leave it. You're not going to step away. You're not going to say, no, I'm leaving that behind. I'm going for Jesus. I really do have trouble in my own heart accepting this kind of word, this perspective. In my own heart, I don't think being poor is blessed. In my own heart, I don't think being hungry is blessed. Even as Jesus explains, it's about the kingdom of God. Okay, I can in my head kind of go, okay, I get that. But I continue as a Christian to want to help people out of poverty and get out of poverty myself. I don't really accept Jesus' words. I want to argue with them. I want God to do what I want him to do. So do you. We have these ideas, you know, this is heavy, heavy stuff. We have these ideas that God ought to do certain things, and my perspective says Jesus needs to be rocked. The main rocking is I'm the one that's the problem. If God says this is true, how come I don't just say, yeah, it's true, and get rid of all of my stuff? If God says, blessed are you if you're this way, why don't I go for that? Instead of trying to cherry pick and pluck from other passages to try and not make Jesus mean what he means. And I love to laugh now. And I love to be full. And I love to have God take care of me in the way that I want him to. Oof. So put that in and let's continue. Let's make sure this is what he's going after, because he also rocks our values. What do I mean? Well, let's see what he says. Big picture stuff. I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, don't withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. As you wish others would do to you, do to them. Okay, again, say, Dax, you're going so fast. Look at that huge pack. And barely, there's so many words in that slide. What's going on? No, this is the same thing said 8 times. It's basically, right, love your enemy. And you could just go right down the list, you know. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If somebody hits you, let them hit you more. If someone takes away your stuff, give them more stuff. Someone steals from you, don't get it back. Okay, stop already, Jesus. Again. I don't like this. It is, don't hit me, Jesus with the lightning bolt. Baloney. I mean, come on, think about it really. Think about somebody who abuses you. Think about someone who robs from you. Think about someone who uses you horribly. And Jesus says, hey, love them. Do everything for them. Don't have a single thought of negativity towards them. Because that's love. Love is to hope all things, to believe all things, to lift up all things. And you're talking about someone who's actually not treating you rightly. Maybe you're in a relationship that's abusive, and or maybe you're in a relationship there's control, or maybe you're in something that's not working well. And here comes Jesus, and Jesus says this. What in the world? Yeah. The reason why this is so hard is because we think, but I know what love is. And the reason that I love is so that people will love me back, is so that people will grow, is that people will improve. I have an idea when I love people. It's not just I'm going to care for them. It's I want them to get somewhere. If I'm going to help somebody get out of poverty, I'm going to help them so that they get out of poverty, not so they stay in poverty. I want to then, and so they'll think, wow, that guy helped me out of poverty. Man, I'm so grateful for Dax. He helped me. I love my spouse, but man, I'm so glad she loves me back. There is a component. Someone continues not to love you, you won't keep loving them. At least on a without complaint. And that's just random someone who you care for already. They're not your enemy. I really have trouble. So I start thinking, well, okay, I get it. Jesus is setting me another example. It's the high bar, but I'm gonna try for that. I'm gonna do my very best to love my enemy, do good to those who hate me. Because that's what Jesus said. That is what he said. But really what he's doing is one big statement of, look, this is why you should be. And you better say with me, I'm not that way. I'm not that way. I mean, I'm being honest. I can do some little stuff. I can work on it. I can help people with a little bit of love. I can take someone who's pretty ugly, not very happy, and try and be kind to them. But that's not this. Let's see what I really do. It's stuff like this. This is keep going. Here he goes. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. Oh. I get it. So my mind goes immediately, okay, I get it. So benefit. This is about benefit to me. This is about me actually showing that I'm something that's deserving, that I'm a child of God. And so now that I am a child of God and I believe in Jesus, I come back to this text. So here's my marching orders. These are the things I'm going to do. Like, it would be benefit to me now I actually think it's a fruit of the Spirit that I love my kids and love my wife, but those are people who love me, so there's no benefit to that. What's Jesus saying? He's saying we're caught up in the world with two-way love and the whole things that we do. We have a little thread always in it. I love people so they'll love me. I love people who love me. I care for people who I want them to care for me. I have this in my heart. The problem is me. Jesus is telling again, and he's setting this bar, but he's not using the law. He's not using the law of Moses to say, here, let me show you the Ten Commandments and how you don't do them. He's saying, oh my goodness, this is what it means to be a child of God, and who are you? And the answer that we have in ourselves, in me, if you're talking about Dak, the answer is not me, because I'm this way. It doesn't even make sense to me that you would go the other way, Jesus. My life would end in a terrible morass of poverty and hunger. And everyone would take advantage of me. And where's the justice? That's where I go in my heart. But love your enemies and do good and lend. Expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. That's the resounding core of what Jesus is saying, right? Be merciful, for your Father is merciful. And that means you should be, if you're a kid of the Father, these ways. You should be rejoicing and looking ahead to heaven and thankful that you don't have weights on you now of stuff and food and luxury. You should be thrilled that people want to put you down because you know you are set in heaven and your Father's a Father of mercy. You should be loving the people that hate you because the Father loves the people that hate him. I get it. I start to say, oh, I kind of get this. But in the same breath that I get it is reality. I am not this way. I can here's how I can kind of do it sometimes in my head as a Christian. I start to say, okay, well, what I can do is I can lend a little, I can portion off a tiny bit of me. Mostly I keep all my stuff, but there's little bits of stuff I give away freely. You know, there's my free will giving and my piles of rotting stuff in my closet that I never give away. As soon as I say that, I said, oh, I hear you, Dax. I hear you. What you're saying is get rid of all of your stuff. We're going to have a huge fire sale. We're going to sell all our houses. We're going to not have any money to buy food. And we will slowly starve to death, looking ahead to heaven, believing Jesus that how blessed we are. That makes logical sense to me as I'm talking to you, but you will never do it. Why? That's not your heart. That's not your heart. It's not mine either. I'm telling you that what it comes out of me, if I'm talking about Dax and me and the ways that I think I'm in this world and the world works a certain way, it works by fairness, it works by me going after justice, it works by me going after, you know, us all bearing joint responsibility. That's how society works. Amen. If you don't work, you don't eat. Not up to free handouts. I don't even think that's good for people. This is the problem that's going on. But you just see, right? Every single thing is about the Father is merciful to you. Judge not, you'll not be judged. Condemn not, you'll not be condemned. Forgive, you'll be forgiven. Give, it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Man, I get this. I say, okay, it's just going to be whatever I put in, I'll get out. Whatever you put in, you'll get out. If you're going to say, I don't want to be judged, don't judge. Too late. Judge every day. If you want to be forgiven, forgive. I'm so bad at forgiving. I still remember when I was in grade school and somebody pushed me down the stairs. I can say, oh, I forgave him, but I remember it. I don't think as kindly of that young man as I did my other friends. He pushed me down the stairs. I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget. That's halfway forgiveness. Give and it will be given to you. Yeah, I use that as sort of a, okay, I guess I'll give more because then God will give me more. He'll press it down and shake it up and push back out at me. But God's ethos is, yeah, blessed are the poor. Wonder what he's going to bless me with. I gave him $100. I want 10,000, God. No, it's good for you to be poor. No. The deal was whatever I give, they're going to give them back to me. He's talking about your attitudes. He's talking about your insides. He's talking about your heart. The problem is our heart is crazy bad, and we're steeped in this way of thinking our world needs to be rocked. And then when we rock it, we go like, well, but I'm not sure I'm up for that. That's a little too radical. I mean, are you with me? That there's a big problem here that either you're going to take Jesus' words at their face value, which we're doing, and it making us a bit uncomfortable, and you're going like, Swanson, where are you going with this? Because this is heavy stuff and it doesn't go away. Or you say, oh, let's spiritualize everything and we won't have to change it all. We can do that. We can be a giving people and a loving people. And as long as I kind of like make it soft and don't get actually to Jesus' words, which is love your enemy, like go after like giving away stuff people steal from you, you give them more. Crazy Jesus. It kind of works if I can soften it. But Jesus never softens. He just says, do you realize your Father's a Father of mercy? And I go, yeah. Do you realize then to be his kid, this is how it is? And I go, yeah. And then I look in the mirror. and I'm not that way. The difference between me and my enemy morally is like this, tiny. The difference between me and my Father is a gap so huge, I can never bridge it. I want to focus on the little gap. I want to focus on the, you know, I'm a ton better than that punk over there in the back row. Sorry, guys in the back row. I'm a lot better than that person who I read about in the newspaper. I'm a lot better than that enemy. I'm a lot better than that one. I've worked hard. I deserve. And I feel it. And I feel there's a big gap. But what Jesus is saying is, no, you don't understand. The width of the gap is so huge. Your world needs to be rocked. There's not a way for you to be like this. Well, with a little help from Jesus. Okay, my testimony, I've had Jesus for a long time. My heart still doesn't live like this. What am I going to do? Unless you don't think it's a heart issue, think about the values that Jesus is talking about, the internal desires and values, because that's where he goes. Let's finish this off, this whole thing. Says, he told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple's not above his teacher, but everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log that's in your eye? Or, did I miss that? Oh, yeah. How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take that speck out of your eye when you don't see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. Take the log out of your own eye. You'll see clearly to take the speck in your brother's eye. He's talking to people like me because the temptation is to say, you guys, here's the problem and you need to work on it. Here's the issue and you need to work on it. You need to work on love better. You need to work on helping better. You need to work on giving more. You need to work on being the kind of person who sees the mercy of God. And I tell you that. And Jesus is like, hey, blind man Swanson, take the stinking log out of your own eye. Because every single one of us has the problem. There's nobody who doesn't have the problem. There's nobody who does this right. We can't get it right. And the people stand up and they kind of they do the halfway right thing, which is, yeah, you're over here. That's really bad. And you should be over there. Let's get you to here. We're supposed to be over there. Yeah, but this is better than that. No, get the log out of your own eye. Now you're even not thinking rightly about the depth of what it means to actually have a heart that loves their enemy, that gives mercy and grace all around. We don't have it. There's a reason why we're doing baptisms today. Don't worry, it gets better. But, you know, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, or grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of this evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Yeah, the issue, says Jesus, is a heart issue. And people stand up and they start talking about how we're going to improve, what we're going to do better. They have the same problem you do. They all have this heart. And the heart, Jeremiah says, is wicked above all else. Who can understand it? We are very able to fake good things. We are very able to put on a front. We are very able to put on a show. But when push comes to shove, Jesus says, out of the heart comes everything that's good or bad. And so as soon as you do one bad thing, you're revealing. As soon as you aren't a person of mercy, as soon as you don't love your enemy, as soon as you don't give without reserve, as soon as you don't simply turn the other cheek when someone punches you, not just physically, but emotionally, As soon as you fight back in your relationship for your justice and your stand, you're revealing your heart, says Jesus. This is heavy. Yeah, there's no way out. He hasn't used the law. He's used the example of the Father as a Father of mercy. And he says the thing that flows from that is you, child of the Father, who the Father has made, who consider yourself a son. You should be this way. And the whole chorus says, Lord, forgive us. Because we haven't. There's something going on in the heart, you see. That's what Jesus is doing in this incredible teaching. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream broke against that house and couldn't shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and doesn't do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without having a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. This is doubling down. It's like, oh, wow. Okay, now I've started the beginning of the Sermon on the Plain, and I've gotten to the end of the Sermon on the Plain. And here I am talking through this amazing teaching Jesus gave. And it's so radical. And then he says, if you listen to me and do them, you only got really two choices. Choice one is, I'm going to take these commands, each of them. Blessed are the poor. I mean, it's descriptive, but I'm going to take these to heart as the truth because he says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, take care of everyone. You be loving the terrible and you just pour it out and be done. There is this way. That would be a foundation of hearing my words. You can take it that way. Good luck. In fact, most of you, all of you, including me, is too late. And I prove it every day. I prove it with every word of anger. I prove it with every small frustration. I prove it by holding back from being totally giving. I prove it from not loving people who hate me, but just getting away from them. I do it by not interacting with people who I don't like. And I do it when I do interact with someone I like, I think, dude, I'm being awesome. When I'm not actually loving them, just listening. I prove it. I'm not. Or there's another possibility. Jesus Christ is giving this talk. Jesus Christ is speaking. Jesus Christ, remember how the heavens broke open at his baptism and the Spirit descended like a dove and the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Because this Son, Jesus Christ, does every single thing in the words that he speaks. He loves his enemies. He gives to everyone. He's poor. He's hungry. He's of no reputation. They're trying to kill him. This Jesus goes to the cross for the people that want to kill him. This Jesus goes and dies for the world. This Jesus sheds his blood for you and me. This Jesus is the mercy of God to you. This Jesus says, hey, I fulfill all of this. Come be in me. This is the ticket for you. This is the hope that we have. It's not, oh, I've gotten some instructions from Jesus about how I should be acting, and I don't do any of it. So, well, don't say any. I don't do almost all of it. No, it's that Jesus has, and Jesus says, I am the one, I am the way and the truth and the life. I'm the shepherd of the sheep. I'm the one who saves you. I come to you. You have my body and blood for you. You have my righteousness for you. You have my holiness for you. You've got everything because I give it to you. Why? Because I am a son of the Father. I am a great God of mercy. Mercy. This is just because Jesus paid, but it's about mercy for you. It's about gift for you. It's about us being on the receiving end of what somebody did, all these things for you and me. This is where we put our hope. We build on a foundation. It is the foundation of trusting Jesus. It is not a foundation of improving morals, of trying by habit or whipping or reward or something to get ourselves over to accomplish what Jesus is putting so high that nobody in their flesh ever does it. It's not that it's not good. It's that I continue to be in the world. I've got a foot in both. And I know I'm entirely in Christ and righteous and pure because I'm in Jesus, Him for me. And I got my flesh till the day I die, and Jesus will resurrect me, and sin will be no more. And from this position, I say, yeah, I should be better. I always should be. But my hope isn't in trying to get it better. My hope is pushed towards my Savior. And what Jesus does again is raise these expectations on the simple truth that the Father is a Father of mercy, and He gives mercy to everyone. Everyone should be. And then we're not. I'm pushed to Jesus. This is the message today for you and me. This is how our world is rocked today. We cannot, but Jesus does. And if you would put your trust in Him, and I know many of you in this room have, Him for us and the fruit He bears through us, the love He expresses through us, the things He does that are not us, it's the Spirit, because the Spirit is using us in ways we don't even see. But that's our trust, that even that, as I look at my partial obedience to partial things, and our Savior says amazing deep things, and I can't hardly even process them, but I get over to know Jesus has done it all. And I will stand on the rock of Him. Come on. Our God is a great God of mercy. And Jesus is His name. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for this sermon on the plain. Thank You that You have done it all for us. And Lord, it is uncomfortable for me to hear the height of the standard of God's mercy towards me, and that I don't reflect that as well as I ought. And Lord, with our whole body, I pray that You would allow us to rest in Your Son who has done it all. The mercy and the grace and the wonder of Jesus for us. It's in His name we pray. Amen.